right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, February 8th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everybody. It is 40 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. Looks like this is about the end of the warmish weather we're going to have right now. I see some rain coming in, and everything I saw in the forecast was showing like single-digit lows by the end of the week. So it means winter will be back for at least a little while. So where do we leave off on Wednesday, I believe it was? Embryo modification, FDA, and dopamine addiction. I'm not sure if we're going to get back into any of that right now. I don't know. I've been trying to dig around and get all my computers straightened out. And I've had to kill a whole bunch of browsers with links all loaded up. But no fear, no fear. We'll get there eventually. We talked about on Wednesday, though, that they had just approved in the United States three-person embryos. Well, actually, they didn't approve it, but it was some U.S. panel gave it a green light, and they're awaiting federal approval from regulators. But they had approved that in the U.K., and they've already made children that way. But in the U.K., they approved editing human embryos, which is something that the only other place that they had done that, to our knowledge, was in China. But the U.K. is the first time that a federal government has given official backing to editing human embryos. And I kind of want to start there, and then we're going to jump into some of the tech stuff, because there's been quite a bit going on between Google and Microsoft and some of the technology firms. A few little fancy dances I saw. And then we're going to get into the brain and robots. We'll end it with robots. Anyway, so getting into gene editing, you know, we'd been looking at all the Zika stuff, and I had to get out of the Zika stuff for now, because now everybody, you know, nobody heard about GMO mosquitoes or any of this other crap. Of course we did. I scroll back through the shows. We've been talking about this at least since the beginning of January, like January 1st. And I could guarantee you, if I even went further back in my archives, we could probably find CRISPR technology back a year ago. We had discussed it and been talking about Oxitec. So, you know, none of this is new to us. But like I said, now it's all over the news, and everyone seems to be an expert. So whatever, let them be experts. It was making my head hurt. So I just gave it up for now. But, I mean, end of the story is, of course, we know that it's all about being able to now fuel this 21st century medicine machine and change the paradigm, so all those anti-vaxxers are going to be threatening you and me and little Johnny. You know, we got to make sure that there are reasons to bag and tag people once, you know, it becomes mandatory because of some sort of emergency. Now, I watched the debate. I remember when it was, Saturday night, maybe? Friday night? I don't know, all the days blend together. But I watched the Republican New Hampshire debate the other night. And one of the things that was surprising is that they had asked a question, and big, bloviating, what's his name, Chris Christie. Oh, I can't stand even watching him. Blah, 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 blah. But Chris Christie came out, and they had asked him, and I had written a story about the Ebola nurse that had come back and ended up in New Jersey and was stuck in a quarantine. They did a story on anti-media about that at the time, just about the ethics and, like, not only the ethics about it, but if you were in that situation, what does that mean for the future? I mean, are they setting precedents that if they think that you have been exposed to something, what rights do you have if they decide you're going into some sort of quote-unquote medical lockup? I mean, they could use that for a lot of different things and use it for their own nefarious purposes. So Chris Christie was asked about that incident with the Ebola nurse being put into quarantine because he's the governor of New Jersey and that's where it happened. And they asked him that if Zika, which for anyone who hasn't been paying attention, Zika, that's been around since 1947, started in Africa. A group sponsored by the Rockefellers discovered it in a monkey in Uganda and put some sort of trademark on it. People keep saying it's a patent. I didn't see any patents at all. I saw a little TM next to it for trademark, but no patents. And I even searched the patent database. I didn't see any Rockefeller patents on Zika. Though maybe, if you can find one, send it to me. But they got their hands on this virus. It's been sprinkled around in South America for quite a number of years, but nobody ever paid attention to it because it never really made anyone sick. They'd get a little achy or a little rashy or a little fevery, and it went away, and it didn't cause microencephaly, and it didn't cause Guillain-Barré. You know, some of the viruses in that family can cause Guillain-Barré. I don't remember which one, but if you go into like one of the virus databases, you'll see. I noticed yesterday, though, when I went into the virus database, they'd updated it now. So now Zika does show microencephaly, suspected, it says, as well as Guillain-Barré syndrome, suspected, again. But there is no proof of either of those actually being caused by any type of Zika virus at all. They never paid attention to it. They didn't develop anything. They didn't do tons of research on it because why? Because it was a relatively mild virus. But now we have this explosion. Oh, my God. Thousands of cases blamed on Zika of microencephaly, even though there have only been a very small handful of those cases that were ever really tested and said, oh, look, the baby was born and the baby has traces of Zika in its blood. There's like a real small, tiny number. But I don't want to get on all this because we know that this is all a ramp up. So now, you know, but something we brought up before was about BRICS Bank. Remember, right before this big quote unquote outbreak happened to Brazil, Brazil was standing in the forefront, Rousseff, talking about her BRICS Bank joining with Russia and China against the IMF. Yes, and bad things happen to countries that go against the IMF. I don't know. Look at Libya. Look at Saddam Hussein. You know, all these different. Look at Iran. I'm sure there's others. I don't know. You know, just think about that for a minute. So now all of a sudden, tourism has tanked in Brazil. Americans don't want to go there. But lo and behold, don't worry about it because we have a couple solutions to fix the Zika pandemic now. It's a global epidemic as claimed by the World Health Organization emergency meeting last week. But don't worry about it because bang, ends up there aren't just a couple companies that had announced now, maybe because first they came out and they said, maybe we'll have a vaccine by August to go into human trials. And I was like, oh, after they were saying originally 5 to 10 years, because nobody's been doing any research on Zika whatsoever, at least not on a large scale, because it never was a threat. Now we're talking maybe we'll have a vaccine candidate ready to go into phase one testing in humans in August. Well, then I see. Da-da-da-da-da-da! I see. After the World Health Organization meeting last week, a company out of India, and I'd have to dig for the story. Maybe we can find it tomorrow. I posted it the other day. A company out of India announced that they are going to have a vaccine candidate to go into phase one trials. So like they already got something on the plate. Not we haven't done anything and we're going to have to really like ramp it up. They got something ready to rock and roll in the next 2 weeks. Because why? Because they've been working on it for the last year. What? They've been working on it for the last year. Why on earth would you be working on a vaccine for a disease that nobody was sick from for a whole year? Putting time, effort, and money into that. Does that make sense to you? So I dug a little bit deeper because I know in India, Microsoft and their programmer villages, Microsoft and doing all kinds of Gardasil testing on teens who don't give proper consent, right? There's that big Bill and Melinda Gates lawsuit happening now against them from all these girls that were damaged from that Gardasil vaccine that weren't given proper informed consent. So Microsoft's been well in bed in India for a long time. So anyway, I dig into this company mysteriously that just pops up out of the blue to announce that they're going to have a candidate already to go into phase one testing. And I don't think it's humans. I'm actually trying to. I think they're going to start in rats. Hold on. I'm trying to get to my before the first cup page. I posted the other day. We'll see if we can find this one. I think they're going to start in rats, but yeah, here, from the Who Would Have Guessed It file. This is out of Reuters, no less. Bharat Biotech. Wasn't Bharat from one of the movies? Bharat. From the Who Would Have Guessed It file, a company who took Gates funding has been working on two Zika vaccines for a year, even though this was never a disease that worried anyone, and one is going to into preclinical trials in just 2 weeks. Bharat Biotech says it is working on two possible Zika vaccines. Indian biotechnology company Bharat Biotech said on Wednesday it was working on two possible vaccines to fight Zika. The virus is spreading rapidly in the Americas, and the World Health Organization on Tuesday expressed concern that it now might attack Africa and Asia. Holy crap! Rub your hands together! Think about the profits! And no vaccine has been developed so far. One of the vaccines is a recombinant, which means that it is created with genetic engineering, ding, 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 while the other is inactivated and will enter preclinical trials in animals in 2 weeks, Bharat Biotech Managing Director Krishna Ella told Reuters. Now, when we first were talking about, like, all of a sudden, now, you know, of course they're going to start working on a vaccine, and hey, guess what? One of the things that I called bullshit on was that it was going to take 5 to 10 years because, again, in the virus database that I have, I took a look at Zika, and guess what? Zika is from the same virus family as yellow fever, West Nile virus, dengue, which, hey, they just announced at Davos like 3 weeks ago that they came up with a dengue vaccine, the very first one. Well, hey, I think I understand enough about how the immune system works, and if I'm going to be given a vaccine to dengue, and Zika is in the same families of viruses as dengue, it would not be too much of a stretch to create a vaccine for Zika. Same family, same sorts of proteins within the virus. So your immune system is going to recognize them similarly. Well, guess what? I guess I wasn't too off on how the immune system works, because that's exactly why these guys say they're going to be ready here in 2 weeks. An inactivated vaccine, of course, is created by killing a pathogen in a way that its ability to replicate is destroyed, but the immune system can still recognize it. Bharat Biotech's announcement came a day after Sanofi, and Sanofi, by the way, was the one that created the dengue vaccine that is now being rolled out in phase 3 trials in humans in Brazil because of, oh my God, the dengue outbreak that was happening before. I mean, this is just so disgusting. It's really disgusting how this is all spinning out. Bharat's announcement came the day after Sanofi had said they had launched now a project to develop a Zika vaccine as well. And on Wednesday, Japanese drug maker Tadika Pharmaceutical also said that it was investigating the possibilities of developing a vaccine for the disease. Privately held Bharat Biotech, based in Hyderabad, says it started work on the Zika virus a year ago. Like I said, they started work on it a year ago, even though nobody was sick and nobody even had Zika on their radar as anything that could potentially cause issues. But they started working a year ago while developing vaccines for chikungunya and dengue. And now listen, here we go. Zika is closely related to dengue, and it is spread by the same species of mosquito. Ding, 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 ding. Which is why I never thought a 5 to 10 year window for developing a Zika vaccine was even possible. I mean, it's from the same family. Barat Biotech sells its vaccines for polio, hepatitis B, N1, H1, and rabies. It worries me that they do rabies vaccines, among others, to more than 65 countries, according to its website. They've got a lead, essentially. It certainly is not a vaccine yet, says the director general of the Indian Council of Medical Research. But it was premature to comment on the two vaccine candidates. Of course, no Zika virus has been detected yet in India, but the health ministry on Tuesday issued guidelines on the disease. So, who is Bharat funded by? Oh, Bharat got $50 million in development R&D for vaccines from who? Oh, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You should have known. You should have known. So they said the one that they're working on is like an old school vaccine, right? Where they take the virus, they kill it, they put it in, and your immune system goes, oh, I see the virus. Let me make antibodies. And that's the end of that, right? That's how vaccines always used to work. Well, the new way that they work with genetic engineering, flipping switches, and all this other crazy stuff is what we don't want in us. Not that we want anything in us, but if I had to take my pick and I had to take a vaccine, I want an old school vaccine. Maybe take out the simian SV40. But the old school versus any of these new nanotech or RNAi type vaccinations. But check this out. So now we have something else going on. And I think that this entire Zika thing is even bigger than what we've been saying. So it's not about vaccines. I mean, I guess it is. Some of it is. It's multi-layered, multi-functioned crisis. We have vaccines. And now this is like for all these new technology biotech companies in all these different countries, this will be a good practice run for a quote-unquote pandemic, epidemic, emergency to see who can deliver. It's almost like the DARPA challenge, it seems to me. Like, we all have the same problem, and now let's all go. Right? They did that all in Ebola, too. Let's all go. Let's come up with a candidate, and let's put it into trials, because now it's a declared emergency without full testing. Right? Isn't that how they work things? That sure is how they work things. So now we had the Ebola vaccine. We had the dengue vaccine. Now we have the Zika vaccine. But we have another tool in our tool chest, and that's these genetically modified mosquitoes. Soon to be genetically modified everything. So in the genetically modified mosquitoes, what they did was they snipped and clipped and they put these genes in. So the offspring, right, required tetracycline. And they, of course, they said there wasn't any tetracycline in the environment, but oops, yes, there is. From all the manufacturing, the agricultural manufacturing, in the animals, in the sewage. So there's plenty. So there's already an issue with these tetracycline Oxitec mosquitoes. But then we found out that there's another organization, and we're going to dig deep into this, not today, but I think I'm going to have to do some real research, and we're going to have to dig deep into it. And this is using this Wolbach bacteria. It's a bacteria that is present in lots of insects, but not in this Aedes aegypti mosquito. And basically what this bacteria does is it infects the sex organs of the mosquito and turns the male mosquitoes into females. Yeah. Oh, where have we seen that happening all across the planet? Isn't that amazing? And they've been like doing all kinds of genetic research now that we have, you know, slice and dice in the lab, copy paste, but they're doing all this embryo research with all these creatures where they're flipping Y chromosomes to X. They're making things reproduce without Y chromosomes at all. I mean, this is really some freak stuff that is happening. They're mixing animals and human genes in labs at different universities to see what's going to happen. They got hybrid cows and all kinds of, and pigs. Now we got humans. It's just beyond disturbing to me. Well, one of the things that we looked at when we first dug into Oxitec and into the CRISPR technology, which is the technology created by, and there's still fights over who owns it, but a technology created by Jennifer Doudna that allows them to precision slice and dice DNA and make genetic modifications. We learned that in Oxitec's research, they were doing two different things with the mosquitoes. Project number one was called population suppression, and that's what they're doing right now at the tetracycline with the dengue mosquitoes that were already released all over South America and the Caribbean in the Cayman Islands and Malaysia and a couple other countries. I think I read eight now that they've released those dengue mosquitoes. Now, of course, their next solution is, hey, we're going to create some Zika mosquitoes and release those too. And they were all over that, like, within days of announcing that this was a global emergency, right? They're like, oh, well, we got a solution. Well, check this out. And I knew this was coming because the other thing that we had read about when we dug deep into Oxitec was the fact that they were working on another technology called Gene Drive, that's through CRISPR as well, and that was called population elimination. And a lot of the scientists out there were very concerned about Gene Drive because Gene Drive allowed them to edit a change and it spread within one generation throughout the entire population of a species and killed them. Now, anyone who has any even smallest inkling that maybe at some point in the future as resources become quote-unquote scarcer, as they keep telling us, and we have all this climate change that's messing up the weather, making it hard to grow food, and as robots take all of our jobs, and we all become useless eaters, anybody who thinks that maybe at some point in the future that eugenics might be an option should be very concerned about this Gene Drive technology. They're already working and learning all the mysteries about the human genome, and now we're doing all kinds of human-animal crisscrossing and human gene experimentation. How long is it going to be, if not already, before they discover our kill switch? And I mean, this is such a deep topic. I could probably do weeks of shows just on the ethics of all this and some of the things that they're doing, but guys, you know what? Here's what I discovered when I really started digging deep into all this stuff. Everything out there is a complete, utter, unbelievable rabbit hole. All you got to do, so I was explaining it to my kid, all you got to do is pull on the thread of the sweater. And I said, what happens to the sweater when you start pulling on the thread? And she says, it unravels. I'm like, exactly. And that's what happens. Everything is such a deep rabbit hole of corruption and disgustingness everywhere. There's nothing that I've found yet that I've dug into that is just plain simple. Whoops, nope, nope, no conspiracy here. Everything is. And if that's all you do is dig down holes and get into how horrible everything is every day when you're digging your research, I'm going to tell you, it starts to affect you. It starts to take down your ability to keep doing this every day because it makes you very depressed. So I got to stop going so far down the rabbit hole for a little while, at least until the weather gets nicer and we get our sunshine back, because that seasonal affective disorder does me in. And tell you, I just last week, between all the technical problems and not feeling well and digging really deep and finding so much garbage, you know, being attacked over the Zika proposal that potentially genetically modified mosquitoes could have something to do with the outbreaks. Hey, there's all kinds of things that could have something to do with the microencephaly. All I'm saying is to question the fact that maybe we should be a little more careful with what we're doing. And to get a direct attack from Discover Magazine, magazine I've been reading for 30 years, I've never seen anything like that. And I wasn't on air, so I didn't get to tell you guys this. 2 days later, a direct attack from Oxitec. Yes. Oh, yes. It mentioned the story, and they put out a link on their Facebook page to an entire publication loaded with medical genetic panelists talking about why the article that questions whether or not these genetically modified mosquitoes could have anything to do with the Zika outbreak. They were talking about that story. Why are we having such big guns come out in less than a week against a story that's even questioning these genetically modified mosquitoes as being responsible for an outbreak? You know what? Nobody asked me if I felt comfortable. And I know that when I was digging first into Oxitec, I read all kinds of stuff of them being bitch slapped for circumventing environmental controls. We had those Oxitec moths released in New York State. Whoops, nobody did an environmental impact study. I don't trust these guys as far as I can throw them. Any type of science that is motivated by big ass cash is not looking out for your best interest. Guess what? You are collateral damage, and so is your kid if something happens to them. You're just one in billions of people. Who cares? That's what they think. Who cares? Your name doesn't go on a wall somewhere. They don't care. And plausible deniability anyway. Who knows? And it's just disgusting to me that there is not a concern for anything. For the environment, for the animals, for the people, for the food, for the air, for the water. We don't give a shit. Let's sell it all out and make $1 billion. You know, when I start looking at this, I really think at times there needs to be a big culling. But it shouldn't be you or me. It shouldn't be the people who give two shits. It should be all the people who don't give a shit, who are motivated by cash and greed and psychopathic control issues. So anyway, let's get to this. So talking about psychopathic control issues and destruction, this is exactly what this is all about. So let's read this. We now have the technology to destroy all Zika mosquitoes. Now, we talked about this before. This is the population elimination portion of Oxitec's documents we had read all those months ago. And what right do we have to decide that an entire population should be eliminated? And how is that going to impact the ecosystem? Have we done any long-term research on that? Because I'm going to say no. But here we are playing gods again. They're getting good at it. Saying that we now have the technology, and again, it's the CRISPR technology, using gene drive, that can wipe out the entire population of Aedes aegypti mosquitoes. And hey, don't worry about it, because all the scientific literature I'm reading is saying, Aedes aegypti, they're an invasive species, so it doesn't matter. Well, maybe, but what type of creatures are surviving on these mosquitoes? I don't like mosquitoes any more than you do. And I hate getting bitten by them. And they do carry disease. You know, maybe Zika's not dangerous, but there are other things out there. You can get malaria or whatever from a different type of mosquito. But I'm saying mosquitoes in general. And, you know, One thing that disturbs me as well is as they're splicing and dicing, especially mosquitoes, we've read some concerns from other scientists talking about the fact that mosquitoes are flying hypodermic needles, and that's how they spread blood-borne diseases. So as they have these genetic modifications put into them, we've also seen that RNA can be passed, and there was concern about this as well, from biting mosquitoes into humans. So who's to say that once they splice and dice, they couldn't A, put something in there, so if you get bitten, whoops, you get sick with some mysterious illness, or B, if you get bitten, they could pass on some sort of genetic freakazoid modification that they made to them onto you. So let's read this. And especially, let me add one more thing. After we've dug way deep into the former, quote unquote, trust me, it's still going on behind closed doors in the name of defensive posture with vaccines. The ending of our biowarfare program back in 1972, where they did all kinds of research on insects as disease vectors, mosquitoes being one of them, and how to kill people using insects. So again, like I said, don't think that this technology hasn't been out there and they haven't been thinking about it and messing with it for a long time. That's what concerns me. These are not good people in control of all of this technology. And even if they were good people, there's bad people out there that could get their hands on this. Let's just say that all the people in charge are all good, happy people with your best interest in mind. There are still bad people out there who could get their hands on this and use it as a weapon. And I mean, there's even, think about all the bioweapons. Think about all the horrible things that could easily be done using a Typhoid Mary, Zika. They're like, oh, it could be spread through blood or urine or spit now, blood transfusions, sex. And we have people in all these different states and all these different countries have been in South America who now have it in their blood. Oh my God. That's called a Typhoid Mary. Good thing Zika really isn't dangerous. But next time, it could be something else with an incubation period of a couple weeks. So they all get home and they see their friends and they go shopping, they go to the mall, they go to restaurants, they go to work, they kiss their kids. And then 2 weeks later, they get sick and they find out they've been contagious all that time. That's not a stretch. I worry about this stuff a lot. All right. Anyway, MIT Technology Review. So this is what I think. All of this mad science gone mad. Now we have all these outbreaks is about because problem, reaction, solution. Problem. Dengue. Solution. Create dengue mosquitoes. Solution. Create dengue vaccine. Problem. Zika. Solution. Create Zika mosquitoes. Solution. Create Zika vaccine. Now we could fix it once and for all and wipe out the population of 80s Egypte for good. Well, isn't this CRISPR their brand new toy that they've been looking for all kinds of reasons to be able to use it and then an excuse to release it? Well, it sure is. A controversial genetic technology able to wipe out the mosquito carrying the Zika virus, and they don't tell you wipe out any population just with the right snip snip. Will be available within months, scientists say. The technology called a gene drive was demonstrated only last year in yeast cells, fruit flies, and a species of mosquito that transmits malaria. Remember, Gates also invested in gene editing company. I mean, they're all involved. They're all financing this, right? It's mad science is financed by all the rich tech billionaires. It uses the gene snipping technology CRISPR to force a genetic change to spread through a population as it reproduces. Three U.S. labs that handle mosquitoes, two in California and one in Virginia, said that they are already working toward a gene drive for the Aedes aegypti, the type of mosquito blamed for spreading Zika. If deployed, the technology could theoretically drive the species to extinction. Now, that's a problem for me. I don't know about you, but remember, all of this mad science that they're doing on bugs can be turned around once they learn how it all works in the genes and replicated in humans. It's all on a computer now. Copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. So if we figure out how to drive mosquitoes to extinction, how hard of a stretch would it be to find a way to splice dice, spread it through our entire population? So in one generation, anyone with an XYZ gene, guess what? Won't reproduce. We could easily have this within a year, says Anthony James, a molecular biologist at where? Oh, another University of California under good old Janet Napolitano's presidency of the university system, University of California at Irvine. Any release of a gene drive into the wild would be hotly debated by ecologists. And so far, no public health agency has thrown its weight behind this idea. Well, I can't wait to see how long that's going to be before they do that. Because listen, but with Zika sowing fear across Latin America and beyond, the technology is now likely to get a closer look. Well, of course it is. That's what they want. Oh, now we have this big problem. Look, we have this new toy that we can now release this stuff into the wild, Petri dish, to see what happens. Quote, 4 weeks ago, we were just trying to justify why we are doing this, i.e. playing with gene drives. Now, they're saying, quote, get the let out, says James. This is absolutely going to change the conversation. Ding, 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 ding. Gene drives. It will give them the reason to say it's okay to let the stuff, let the genie, let the killer genie gene drive of death out of the bottle into the wild. This is very frightening. The Zika virus is now spreading explosively in the Americas, according to the World Health Organization, which last week declared a global health emergency. And while the virus causes only mild rash, see how they put that? The epidemic is frightening because of a suspected, so at least they said that, because of a suspected link to 4,000 children, yes, but only suspected 4,000 children, not proven, born in Brazil with microcephaly or shrunken heads. There is no easy way to stop Zika. There is no vaccine. And developing one could take several years. Yes, unless you're Bharat in India and you're ready to rock and roll in like 2 weeks for testing. Like, I can't even believe that. And of course, Bharat is privately funded, so you couldn't even invest in it. There's no vaccine, and developing one could take several years. Brazil is sending out 220,000 soldiers door to door to check for mosquitoes breeding in all tires and swimming pools. Yeah, remember we talked about that. Jane gave us that story about all the soldiers being deployed in Brazil to help kill mosquitoes, just like they did for Ebola. We sent soldiers to Africa to go fight Ebola. Women are also being asked to delay pregnancy. And I saw as well, down in Central American countries, many of them ban abortion for any reason whatsoever. A lot of those countries are very Catholic. But now they're even talking about maybe bending some of those rules and allowing women to go get abortions if they'd been exposed. I'm just seeing a really ugly agenda here. You know, for someone who didn't believe in the whole eugenics conspiracy back 5 years ago, I thought it was complete tinfoil hat wearing lunacy. I gotta tell you, from all the digging that I've done in the last 5 years, it sure as hell looks like that's what they're planning. Back to the story. Gene drive technology could be ready sooner than a vaccine, but it's no quick fix, says scientists. Self-annihilating mosquitoes will first have to undergo tests in the lab, then perhaps on an island. Yeah, that's how they do it. Before they could be released more broadly. Regulations, oh, those pesky regulations and public debate. Oh, those pesky public members who open their mouths that think about the dangers of these things could stretch this timeline out for years. So you know what? Maybe we just have to declare a pandemic and say, fuck all those regulations and public debaters. Let's make this something that we have to roll out. The Aedes aegypti mosquito is not native to the Americas. No, like I said, it's an invasive species. It is an invasive species that is now found from Florida to Argentina, whose range could expand with climate change. And don't forget, too, Florida, they're pushing again. They are pushing again to release now the dengue mosquitoes, GMO mosquitoes from Oxitec in Florida. In addition to the Zika virus, its bite also can transmit chikungunya and dengue, and dengue fever causes 100 million people to fall ill each year. Because of the extent of problems Aedes aegypti causes, some scientists favor using advanced technology to drive the species to extinction, at least in the Americas. These mosquitoes have truly little value, says Zach Alderman, an entomologist at Virginia Tech who works with the Aedes aegypti. Well, Zach, I'm really glad that you put yourself in a position ethically to be able to say that another living creature has little or no value. The mosquito wouldn't be here if it didn't have some value to something. Like I said, I would be very interested to see the food chain. I know dragonflies eat mosquitoes, and I know bats eat mosquitoes, and I'm sure birds do as well. It's just interesting. He says they truly have little value. Is that what they're going to say about us someday? Is that what they're going to say about, oh, I don't know, the people who have been deemed to not be good breeding stock because they had too much stress in their life? The people who are deemed not producers anymore because you got injured and can't do physical labor anymore? I mean, where are they drawing the line? What are we going to do when they decide that anyone over 65 has little value anymore because you're taxing the system? It's costing us to take care of you in the medical healthcare system. And you're draining resources from those who are younger and more adept at producing than you. I mean, these are very slippery slopes that we're looking at. And I know it's only a mosquito, and it's a mosquito that spreads disease. I'm not saying that. But who's to say that we could be pointing to any one species saying they have little value and then be proposing that we use a technology to make them extinct? So I don't think that that's in our job description as humans. It really isn't. I don't think we have that authority, do we? To tell a living species that has no right to live anymore? People in favor of eradication are going to be able to plead their case, says Zach. While gene drive technology could save human lives, of course it can. It's all for your benefit. The feature that makes it so powerful that mosquitoes themselves spread it within their population also raises concerns over unforeseen ecological consequences. What if the DNA change somehow jumps to other insects? Hey, good question. But hey, we couldn't ask that question about Oxitec, remember? Because we got attacked. What if things were to go wrong? Would the scientists be able to recall it? Well, another good question. An expert panel of the National Academy of Sciences in Washington, D.C. is expected to release a report in May on the responsible use of the technology. Oh, that makes me feel so safe, warm, and fuzzy. I don't think that there's any real consensus on gene drives yet, says Keegan Sawyer, director of the study. There are differing camps. I mean, I gotta tell you, I dug up a couple different stories this weekend by geneticists in the past already. Geneticists who were standing up saying, hey, back up the truck, Chuck, before you release these genetically modified mosquitoes for dengue in my country. And nobody listened. So the fact that geneticists, like people who understand this shit way better than you or me, I mean, I think we got half a clue, but they got a way bigger clue than we do, are standing up going, you know what, this isn't such a good idea because there's all these issues that we're not looking at and it could cause all these problems potentially. The fact that they're calling on potential future issues has got to give you at least a tiny droplet of concern. They're the ones in the know, but they all got shut up. Nobody wants to hear it because we've done it already, so be quiet. Todd Kukin, an environmental scientist who studies governance of new biotechnology for the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington, D.C., says that even an invasive species might be filling a useful biological niche. That's what I said. What animals are eating these mosquitoes? Just because they were invasive at one time, they've moved in, and the local population has now taken up using them somehow, and maybe they filled a space that was empty before. And we just don't simply know. Todd Kukin says, quote, I don't think the entire ecosystem is going to collapse if you remove an invasive, but there are a lot of interconnectedness between species, especially in the tropics, he says. My concern is more the ecological interactions. This technology is still extraordinarily new. And the systems work because scientists are able to weave gene editing machinery directly into an insect's DNA. So they're like putting CRISPR into the DNA to then do its work. That way, instead of a given gene passing to half of a mosquito's offspring, as would normally happen, it spreads to all of them. A phenomenon dubbed as super inheritance. Depending on the genetic payload scientists choose to spread, they could eradicate insects or make them unable to spread diseases. This latter tactic is called, and I noticed they changed the name from what we read about. We read about it being called population elimination in Oxitec's documents about a year ago. In this MIT Technology Review, they're calling it population replacement. The latter tactic, called population replacement, works by spreading a gene that makes mosquitoes unsuitable hosts for a pathogen so they will not infect people. Oh, so this is actually something different. Same concept, but different concept within the population. Population replacement makes them incapable of being hosts for a pathogen. Why couldn't they do that for human bodies? Spread it through our progeny so it makes us incapable of being hosts for any pathogens. Just a thought. This approach was taken by James and collaborators last November when working in a secure lab. Yeah, one that doesn't have, you know, old 30-year smallpox vials sitting unsecured on top of filing cabinets, I would hope. Working in a secure lab, they developed a drive that spread a gene among mosquitoes which blocks the malaria parasite from developing. But a gene drive can also make mosquito populations disappear. And yes, that's what Oxitec called population elimination. The simplest way to do that is to spread a genetic payload that leads to only male offspring as the male-only instruction spread with each new generation. Eventually, there would be no females left, says Elderman. His lab discovered the 80s Egypti gene that determines sex only last spring, and the next step will be to link it to a gene drive. Kevin Esvelt, a gene drive researcher at MIT's Media Lab who has been outspoken about the need to proceed cautiously, also thinks 80s Egypti eradication should be the goal. So long as the public is on board and the safety of the idea is approved. So the public, which is the public that they want to hear from, not the public that's actually out there expressing concern, and the safety is approved by scientists, all with some sort of financial gain in the future, I'm sure, for approval. And maybe not even financial gain, just gain of end results. This is horrifying. I mean, people aren't going to look at this. Any demand user is going to go, oh, yay, wipe out the mosquito that causes Zika, all fixed now. But remember, it's the technology they're experimenting with, and they want to be able to release it in the wild under some sort of emergency so they can see what happens. You know, we're all done playing in the lab with this stuff. We're ready to let it go. Technologically, we could probably do it in a couple of years, says Esvelt. I'm sure we'll be able to do it before people can agree if we should. Well, dun, dun, dun. I'll tell you what. I guess we're just going to have to come up with a couple more epidemics to make people scream and cry and say that they need this technology. That's how it happens. So, hey, guess what? We now have this massive epidemic of bed bugs that is raging across the United States. And they have become immune to insecticides. What do we do? I don't know. What do we do? Bed bug bloodsuckers. So long, bloodsuckers. Scientists crack bed bug genetics and plan its demise. Dun, 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 dun. This is just horrifying. So what? Now we crack their genetics. So what are we going to do? Make GMO bed bugs? This is just beyond insane, guys. Beyond insane. And remember, once they start splicing and dicing stuff into these insects are disease vectors. that they experimented with for many years as part of a biowarfare program. It would not be difficult for them, once they figure out all the little buttons and switches to flip, for them to splice and dice something nefarious into these insects and let them go. I'm just saying, you know, for every, and I wouldn't even call this good. This is just complete and utter insanity. But for every complete and utter insanity, there's even a bigger complete and utter insanity that can happen. Bed bugs be gone. Scientists have successfully cracked the genetic makeup of the blood-sucking parasites, which could lead to their eventual annihilation. Okay, complete eradication is perhaps wishful thinking, but researchers at the American Museum of Natural History and the Weill Cornell Medicine are hoping that a genome breakthrough will lead to more effective ways to battle the sleep-destroying pest. By getting a handle on what makes them tick, scientists may now be able to tailor pesticides, and remember, they have those RNAi pesticides, to kill the ever-mutating creepy crawlies. The study, published in the Nature Communication Journal, explains how DNA and RNA samples were taken from living and preserved insects in order to build up a genetic history of the bedbug. And one key observation during analysis was that certain pesticide-resistant genes are only expressed after the bed bugs suck on blood. The findings suggest exterminators are more likely to stop an infestation while insects are young. It also states that the structure of the bed bug can be linked to 400 different types of bacteria, indicating that maybe some sort of antibiotic might be a way to cure the pest problem. And guys, we got about 3 seconds left here. So we made it through Monday. Make sure you stick around. We have Ms. Lonnie Clark live up next. And then tonight we have something really special. Truth on the Tracks, extended 15 minutes with David Icke. Interview with Brandon Turville and David Icke at 9 p.m. Eastern. Corbett Report.